Father, we're so grateful that you're always on time. And that's why this morning we believe that we are in the right place at the right time to meet with you. God, we thank you that you are aware of every situation and every circumstance in our life. And during this season, you're not leaving us alone, but you're speaking to us through your word. And I pray that you would open our hearts now. I pray that your word will have room in our lives to bring fruit for your kingdom and for your glory. God, I pray, as I hide behind your cross, that you speak to us through your word, because it's your word who transforms lives. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. You may be seated. This morning, I would like to talk to you about what I must do to be saved. What must I do to be saved? These were the words of a Philippian jailer. And you might think, well, that's his words, they're not mine. But I would encourage for you and for me to think a little bit deeper, especially those that are tuning online as well, to say, God, what must I do to be saved? This journey that we are on in this world, it's only for a season, but there is eternity. And it's so important in our lives to make the right decisions, and the most important decisions, to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. What must I do to be saved? If you can open up with me to the book of Acts, chapter 16, verse 25 and down. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately, all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke up and saw what the prisoners' doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to take his life, supposing that the prisoner had escaped. Verse 28. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for light and rushed in. And trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved and your household." Praise be to God. That in that moment, whenever when Paul and Silas, they were faced with a question that was coming from the bottom of a person's heart, a person that was lost, a person that had no purpose, a person that found himself just doing a job, Paul and Silas had an answer. They did not say, "Well, you might need to do 10 steps to come to Jesus. You might need to beat yourself up for all the sin and the mistakes you have done in your life. You must go to the synagogue for a year before you get approved to be in the family of God." Paul and Silas right away had an answer. The only thing that is required of humans to be saved is to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the finished work on the cross. At times when we fail in our life, when we sin, when we fall short, as the Bible says that all of us fall short of the glory of God, we as people have the tendency to beat ourselves. We have the tendency to promise. I don't know about you, but I've made a lot of promises to God in my life. "God, forgive me, and I promise you I'm not gonna do this again." To find out the next morning or the next day or the next minute, I would fall the same snares of the enemy. And again, guilt will fill our hearts, my heart. And we would make promises again, and we would say, "Only if I can do more, only if I can read the word a little more, only if I can pray a little more." And there is a hunger and desire in our hearts for freedom, for the life that God has promised me and you through the word of God. You read the scripture and it says this, whom the Son sets free, he is free indeed. And you might say, but I am not free. And this is where the question you might have, like this jailer had, what must I do? I've tried it all. I've gone to different places. I read different books. I prayed different prayers, but what must I do to be saved? It's the same for every believer in the world, and the offer is the same for every human being in this world. You must believe in Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Without faith, the Bible says, we cannot please Him. And to believe Him, it's taking Him at His word. Accepting the price that was paid on a cross for our sin, accepting that by faith, and that's all what it takes. You mean this is it? Yes, that's it. Now, religion will tell you, you need more. You need 10 steps. You need all kinds of things in your life. You need works. You need all of those things. But Jesus requires just faith. Faith in Him. Praise be to God. And the church started that way. But if you started the church history, I don't know if it was on purpose or because of different circumstances in their life, they deviated from grace alone, faith alone, and Christ alone. And throughout time, they said, well, you need also the church to be involved and to be part of your salvation, because without the indulgences, without the church being involved, without you beating yourself up, without you paying for your sin, without you confessing only to certain people, maybe you're not saved. And this is where works came along. And instead of bringing freedom in a person's life, it brought bondage. People were living in bondage. And this is where during the 16th century, where Martin Luther rediscovery came of the love of Jesus Christ, the merciful God that offers salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. Hallelujah. And this is where he started the Reformation theology, if we can put it that way. Thank God that somebody opened up the word, they began to read it. And they open up to the book of Romans where he says, the just shall live by faith. Praise be to God. It's the word of God that has power. As Pastor Tim reminds us each devotional, it's the word of God that transforms. It's not the church service. It's not how much we try, but it's the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And as we receive that, yes, it's important to come to church. Yes, it's important to pray. Yes, it's important to read the word of God. But it's Jesus Christ that saves. And it's His work. And His love, praise be to God for that. The Reformation rediscovered the doctrine of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, on the account of Christ alone. And if we put our faith and trust in anything but that, we might be filled with religion but denying the power of Christ. And there were enough people in the days of Jesus even that Jesus Himself took an issue with religious people. They thought they had everything together. They thought that they are the ones that have the keys to eternal life. And yet Jesus looks at them and calls them dried up bones. It can be offensive, but Jesus was speaking the truth. It's ironic that Jesus would turn to sinners, to the ones that were the lowest of the lowest, the ones that were not even welcomed into the synagogue because they were considered too far gone. And Jesus hung out with them because they had more hope than people that were filled with religion. It's so important in our life to be filled with faith, not filled with religion. Now there is a scripture in the book of Matthew that I've thought a lot about. A scripture that growing up I would read and I would be filled with fear. A scripture that Maybe some of us are still filled with fear if we do not fully understand what this scripture is all about. And it's written in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 and down. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. It's the words of Jesus. What a sobering message that we who are born again, we can read the scripture and say, is it me? Like whenever one of the disciples were with Jesus, and Jesus says, one of you will deny me. And they were looking at each other and they were asking the question, is it me? Is it me, Lord? And by reading this scripture, when I did not fully understand the scripture, when I was growing up, I was asking this question, is it me, Lord? Then what is the point of all this Christianity? To follow you, to give our lives to you, to trust in the power of the cross, to find out one day that I am fooled. What is the confidence of a believer's life in you and in the finished work of the cross? How can I be confident that what you said is true? That one day when I stand before you, I'm not gonna stand filled with fear. What is that confidence? But my brothers and my sisters, this scripture brings assurance to those that are true followers of Jesus Christ and brings a warning for those that call themselves believers, but yet they're far off from that. And this scripture is addressing a religious person. And there is so many commentaries on the scriptures. False teachers, false prophets, and all of those things are true. But one of the things that really captured my attention that I wanted to share with you, that this religious person or people or a group of people, they were saying, didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we pray then things happen? Didn't healing happen? In different words, when they said before God, instead of saying, by grace, through faith, through Christ alone, I stand before you. They're bringing the works before Heavenly Father and saying, I did all of these things in your name and you must accept me. The doors must be open. I lived my life filled with all of these works. I put in my trust in the things I was doing for you. And here they are. People are delivered. People are healed. Prayers are being answered. You moved in our lives. And this is the things that I'm bringing before you. And Jesus says, not by works you will enter into my kingdom. Whoever will come to me must come through the shepherd, through the cross, through Jesus Christ. And if in our lives we deviate from the finished work of cross into the things that we do, woe is we. Woe are we. And for that reason, this reminds me of a sobering message. That nothing that we do in this world, on this earth, on this journey, even being in ministry, even pastoring, whatever what we do, nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. There is nothing that we can do to impress God and say, I did all of these things in your name. You must open the door now for me to come into your kingdom. But as Pastor Carter always reminded us throughout the years, when we stand before him, only one song is going to be in our lips. By grace and grace alone. Hallelujah. By grace, through faith, through the power of the cross, we approach him. And this is our access to God. But religious people will say, Lord, I did all of these things. I went to church so many times. I light up the candles. I did all of these things. Thinking that this is what will bring me access to you. I tithe my money. I did so many good works. I helped the poor. I did all of these things in my life, and one of them maybe it's going to be right to have favor with you. But that's why the Bible says you must be born again. Nothing that we can do in this world will impress God. Everything that we do in our lives as believers is as a result that we do. We can't help but give. We can't help but help the poor. We can't help but be a blessing to somebody. But in no way those things can substitute the work of the cross. It's by faith and faith alone. And that's why the church started that way in the days of the apostles. Throughout the years, they deviated through grace plus works plus church plus priests. And this is when the 16th century, Martin Luther opened up the book of Romans. And let me tell you, Martin Luther was far from perfect. But God chose to open up the book of Romans that no, not by indulgences, not by all of these things that you can do, not by climbing the steps, not by standing on one leg to punish your flesh because you've sinned, but by faith, by grace through Christ alone. Hallelujah. And that's why this warning, I believe it's written in the book of Matthew. And he says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did not we do or prophesy in your name? You see, it works. Did not we do this in exchange for you to allow us to come into your kingdom? Did not we cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. In different words, you never put your trust in the cross, but into the works and what you can do for me. Oh, my brothers and my sisters, when God began to open up scriptures to me, there is nothing that I can do to earn his salvation. Freedom came into my life. And that's what I'm offering to you this morning. In Christ, there is freedom. In Christ, there is liberty. In Christ, there is joy and fullness of joy, the Bible says. As our brother Scott reminded us this morning, let this morning be a time that if you did not make peace with your Heavenly Father, you must, oh, well, I'm a religious person. No doubt about that. Well, I do good things. No doubt about that. It's by grace alone, by faith alone, and through Christ alone. And if that's not our foundation, I would like to challenge your theology this morning according to the Word of God. Now, verse 24 says this as the worship team comes. Everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat the house. But it did not fall, because it had been founded on the rock. Verse 26. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. The Bible says and invites me and you to build our lives on the solid rock. And this rock is Jesus Christ. It's Him alone. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 through 9 says this, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. You see, people would filled with religion, they were boasting. God, we did all of these things. If there is anybody that you should allow in your kingdom, it's us. They were boasting in the things they were doing in the name of Jesus. Instead of, like Apostle Paul says, if there is something that I'm going to boast on, it's boasting on a cross. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by works, does it say that? Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, me and you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. How do we obtain this eternal life? The Bible says that you must be born again. And if you're in this room or online, what a great opportunity to start this new year by responding to the call of God, to the saving power of Jesus Christ. As we have a physical birth, we must be born of the Spirit to inherit eternal life, and that is done by faith. As in all of our campuses, we like to say this: how do I become born again? A, admit you're a sinner. The Bible says that we all are born in sin and in need of a Savior. We have a condition that is called sin, and there is not a program in the world that can fix it. It must be taken care of supernaturally by God Himself. Someone once says, we're not mistakers in need of correction. We are sinners in need of a Savior. We don't need a second chance. We need a second birth. Admitting that we are a sinner and are in need of a Savior, it's one of the first steps that we cry out to the Lord. B is believe. God sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sin. Jesus lived a life we couldn't live, died the death we should have died, and gave us a reward called heaven. That's the love of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And C is confess Him as your Lord. Let Him be in charge of your life, of every decision that you do. Talk to Him. Ask Him to lead you and guide you. You can say, well, I'm in charge of my own life. I can do my own decisions. You can try. But I'm going to offer you this morning to make Him your Lord in every decision. God, what would you have me do? And if this is you, that you would like to give your life and to respond to the call of Jesus, if you're online, you can type on our chat and somebody will be praying for you from our team. But if you're in this sanctuary, if we can bow our heads, and as we've heard from our brother Scott, a powerful testimony how the love of Jesus Christ got a hold of him, I would like to also extend this invitation to you to receive Jesus Christ and respond to His love, that one day when you stand before Him, you will not remind Him all of the things you have done to impress Him. But one thing you can say, by grace I am here. I have not deserved this, but I come to you by faith and because of your promise. That's why I'm going to enter into the heavenly place. And if this is you that you would like to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, would you raise your hand, please, so we can pray for you? If this is you, be bold. I see one hand. Is there anybody else? For the sake of this person, would you pray and repeat after me? Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe you are the Son of God. And on that cross, you took my sin, my shame, my guilt, so now I can be free. I confess you to be my Lord and Savior. God is my Father. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Spirit is my helper. Heaven is my home. Praise be to God. And if you're here that you are a little bit uncomfortable raising your hand, and if you would like to come and talk to one of the leaders here, Dr. Colin is here, Pastor Nick is here, come talk to us, one of the elders. If you want to go home and make this your personal decision, you can do that. Yes, even in the shower. You can cry out to the Lord and respond. See, it's not like we're seeking Him. Jesus was never lost. He's seeking for me and you because we were lost. And it's the work of the Holy Spirit already in our lives that when we open up our hearts, we think, oh my goodness, I'm so strong, I'm going to do this. No. It's the work of the Holy Spirit that He's already doing in our lives. We just respond to Him to say, God, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins, and I take you at your word, and I believe that you're the Son of God, and I come to you by faith. What must I do to be saved? Believe in Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? During this song, if you want to declare that your foundation is on the solid ground, on a solid rock of Jesus Christ, declare His faithfulness. If the enemy has been coming and bringing all kinds of storms in your life, you see, as I read in the Word of God, storms will come. It doesn't say maybe. It says when the storm will come. The winds will come, but your house will stand. Praise God. So if your journey has been shaking a little bit, that you need a reminder that you will stand, come to these altars, not from a losing side, but from a victory side, to say, I will stand. I will stand. I'm not going to fold. I'm not going to fall. I'm going to go all the way with Jesus. Whatever comes against me, my house is built on nothing less but Jesus Christ, my righteousness. Hallelujah. And if you need to be reminded of that, please respond to this altar call. We'll be praying in a moment.